Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode number 173, The Way of the Cross. This is Holy Week, the talk, the walk of the Via Crucis. Here's a clip from my own recent journey on the ancient Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem while on pilgrimage.
Jesus takes up his cross.
I take this.
Then Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified.
So they took Jesus and carrying the cross himself,
he went out to what is called the place of the skull.
So today, lessons from carrying the cross. Special guest actor, athlete Kaiser Johnson joins us recently in the movie Unplanned. And whether you saw the film yet, he plays Abby Johnson's attorney, by the way, in the film. Or if you haven't seen it, you don't want to miss what he has to say about not only the dialogue from the movie, the pro-life conversation, but also the recent Twitter suspension and the aftermath. He's also the author of the book Grit and Glory, How to Lean In, Lay Down, Offer Up, Glorify God Through the Struggle. So we'll talk to him about that. And just a quick running reflection, still training for my first ever full marathon. So we have a series talking about lessons from the trail. And this week, just thought about being present. Olympian Ryan Hall is going to join us in a few weeks. And he has a new book out. It's called Run the Mile You're In. And that's been the takeaway for me, focusing on the mile. Just ran 15 miles, the longest I've ever done in my life. Again, I've done 6 half marathons. I've been a runner since I was probably 17 or 18, but never this kind of distance. Never even thought I wanted to, never even thought I could. And the funny thing is, it was in me all along. My whole life, I could have run 15 miles, but I never even knew it. I never could believe it. And I still can't imagine that I'm going to run 11 more and run 26.2. I can't still even fathom it. And that's why I think it's important, mile by mile, just to be in the moment that we are. This time of year, I feel the same way about my schedule. When I look at May and how crazy and busy, my eye starts to twitch. I start to feel stressed, like the walls are closing in around me. My son is graduating from high school. There are many speaking events, Mother's Day, lots coming up with the end of the year for the kids as they wrap up their grade. So it would be really easy to be stressed, just like I'm preparing for this marathon. But the beauty is God gives us today, hour by hour, minute by minute. And there's a design, there's a purpose in why we're only given today and this hour and this minute and trying to be more present. And when you're in a training mode like that, you're forced to do that. And I think that's the other thing when someone loses something or you're in the grief process, just the fact that you wake up every morning and you get up and you get out of bed, that should be celebrated. That moment of continuing to endure, continuing to go on, because I do think that sometimes, and especially in our culture, we can feel like we have to be perfect. We have to get it right. We have to be working on ourselves all the time. Maybe the fact that you are just up and going is for that day a big accomplishment, right? So a lot of different avenues to go down when you're in such a process like that. But most of all, just thinking about being present, picking up our cross every day, carrying it. And like we'll hear Kaiser talk about, the grit and the glory, the cross and the crown, and how it all works together in this beautiful story, this journey. And that's what I love about the way of the cross that we heard. You're going through step by step. You're not looking to the point where he was arrested and then, okay, he crucified, died, was buried. You're in the moment. You're going through the present steps along the way and the journey of that. And Father Nathan is going to speak a little bit more about that as we end the show with his Padre in Your Pocket, and also how you can use where you are today to enter into the passion, redemptive suffering, and the glory of resurrection. That's coming up. But right now, let's jump into our conversation with actor Kaiser Johnson.
Kaiser,
Pro-life film Unplanned has been making quite an impact nationwide. It beat the odds to become the number 4 film at the U.S. box office during the opening weekend. And leading up to its release, I had the chance to interview Abby Johnson here on the show. And that book, that movie, now her life story on the big screen, and now the movie is out, the conversation is just getting started. So not surprisingly, there has been controversy. And despite an R rating, the media blackout, the Twitter ban, Unplanned continues to surge, and we want to keep the conversation going. So delighted now to be joined today by one of the actors of the film. He plays lawyer Jeff Paradowski, who helps Abby with her legal troubles after leaving Planned Parenthood. You know, the end of the movie, they win the case, and just a dynamic actor. You can see it on and off the screen. His real name, Kaiser Johnson. And fun fact, Kaiser, also an elite obstacle course athlete, author of the book Grit and Glory, and founder of the Hollywood Chess Chesterton Society. Excited now to be joined by Kaiser from California. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Man, this has been a whirlwind. You have a baby, you have a new movie, and there's a lot going on. So I guess the fact that you specialize in endurance is a good thing.
Oh, boy, you're telling me. Yeah, I realize what I've been training for my whole life. It's great.
It's here. Well, I want to first talk about the movie. I mean, you live in a pro-choice town. You must have known this was going to cause a stir. But what has it been like for you now that the movie's out?
It's been interesting on a couple of fronts. One, you know, there has been obviously sort of controversy writ large, you know. But I'm starting to find friends and acquaintances and professional relationships where I didn't realize, you know, there was pro-life bent there or, a more conservative leaning where people are reaching out to me and they're going, hey, Kaiser, I saw you in this or I saw that you did this movie and thanks so much for doing it. And I was like, wow, I wouldn't have expected them to have that sort of mindset. So it's kind of opening doors in some ways that I didn't know were there. And then, you know, at the same time, obviously, in general, you know, there's pushback against it from places and people and that kind of thing as well.
The hope is that it's just getting into the eyes and ears and hearts of people. And that's part of been what the controversy has been of late. I saw that Chuck Konzelman, the writer and director, and Carrie Solomon, they appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee subcommittee last week. They talked about the suppression. There was this Twitter ban that it was not only on the entertainment industry, but the online platforms as well, where there was this blackout. What was the story there with the Twitter ban?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, people are calling it a Twitter ban. And, you know, I think according to Twitter, it just happened that, oops, we accidentally shut off your account and suspended it accidentally. And oops, it was a mistake, but we accidentally did it twice over the course of the weekend. But when it came down to it, you know, it generated more publicity, I think, for Unplanned and for the Twitter account than if they had just left it alone. Unplanned's Twitter account exploded in followers and, you know, really got the word out to a lot of different people in the pro-life community and in the Twitter community in general. And, you know, people who are into free speech, and it ended up bringing it to a much wider base. But yeah, on our opening weekend, the account was suspended with no, you know, there was no rules that we had broken on Twitter, and you know, Twitter finally, you know, responded and was like, oh, we don't see that you're in violation of any rules, so we'll put your account back. And they did, but there were several issues where people weren't being able to, you know, I was booted from following Unplanned myself, and then I had to follow it again, and then was booted again from following them and had to follow it a third time. And so it was a whole thing where it was like all this kind of, you know, fishy stuff was going on.
Yeah. And then similarly, this R rating, the NPAA coming out, slapping this R rating on the film, which in some ways, like the Twitter thing, almost backfired because it's affirming life, that life is being taken here in this film. But then when I was listening to Chuck and he was talking in the testimony, he said this actually, though, discouraged even like the Church of Latter-day Saints. They have a prohibition against seeing rated R films. I didn't know that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, you've seen the film, so obviously you know there's, you know, the couple of honest depictions of abortion,
right.
And you know, those are, they're honest depictions of abortion, and the MPAA is right that those are disturbing images of violence. Mm-hmm. And so what it does affirm, like you point out, is the fact that this is a grave act of violence against a woman and against her child. It doesn't shock me that it got an R rating, but
yeah.
The shocking part of it is that we keep seeing is that a girl of 13 to 15, depending on what state she's in, she can get an abortion without telling her parents and without parental consent, but she can't go see an abortion.
Right.
Or even see a depiction of an abortion without her parents' consent.
Yeah, the double standard.
That's what's shocking, and that's what's disturbing, and that's what's distressing.
To have this come out to the light, though, is good. And on Facebook, I had shared that you were coming on the show, and a few people left some questions. So I was wondering if I could share their feedback with you.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, please.
Okay, Darren, he said, I would like to know how Kaiser suggests we train to be resolved to continue to fight for unborn children. As athletes, we train to persevere through pain and the busyness of life. How can we be steadfast in our work to end abortion?
That's a great question. In my book, Grit and Glory, I talk a lot about how there are these, you know, parallels between what we do in our bodies and what we're doing with in our souls to endure and learning to use a lot of energy and really, you know, come out fighting is something that's really important and valuable to us just as whole persons. We're an integration of body and soul. And so I think that to have the courage to be heroic in everything that we do, to look at what we do and go, wherever there is fear, wherever there is hesitance, true love casts out fear. To approach everything from that perspective and go, where I'm afraid, let me bring courage to that. Let me do this anyway. I think the more that we train ourselves to where we have fear, respond with courage and respond with love, I think that is something that affects our physical lives, affects our spiritual lives, and that's something that you can train no matter which side of that equation you're starting on.
I'm really vigorously nodding my head and saying amen. I'm trying not to hit the table because I love it. And Father Nathan Cromley is a periodic priest. Padre in Your Pocket is a feature he does on the show. But he often talks about living up to the nobility with which we've been called to. And I think that's whether it's an athletic pursuit or character, integrity, all that. I love that you talk about the heroic act. And that comes down to what we eat, how we respond to the culture, our faith. So that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Next question is from Bobby. She's asking, which is harder, running a marathon? Or maybe in your case, I don't know if you've run a marathon, Kaiser. I know you do the obstacles. But she said, or swimming upstream against the culture today. Please encourage us who cannot get out there and run like you.
Okay. Yeah. Good question. Okay. First, I would dispute the idea that not everyone can get out there and run like me. I'm not the world's best runner. I'm not even, in the top 20%. Your body and your spirit too have a remarkable resilience and a remarkable ability to be transformed through the grace of God. Where you are at day one, if you make incremental progress, 90 days from now, you won't recognize where you were because you have this beautiful ability to adapt and change and grow. And that's true, again, body and soul. And so I think, again, both things take courage. Both things take training. Both things take experiencing pain and setbacks and saying, that's okay. I'm getting up and I'm doing it again tomorrow. Social media and, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these things, they are potentially great vehicles for great beauty and truth and great change, along with the flip side of that, of the dangers of and the pitfalls associated with them. But when they're used right, they're really great methods of communication that can share your life and share your story with other people, and it can be really inspiring to others.
Yes, you got the vigorous amen again. Katie and Louise both asked a similar question, so I'm going to combine them. They both want to know, what are some behind-the-scenes stories that people on the set of Unplanned would remember fondly, and what is it like to be a pro-life man of faith in Hollywood?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people had really, fascinating stories happen. I'm sure, I don't know if you got a chance to talk to Ashley Bratcher at all, who plays Abby, but you can see her behind the scenes story of, when she told her about how this sort of transformative experience in her relationship with her mother, where when she shared that she got this role, her mother revealed that she had almost had an abortion that would have, ended Ash's life. She hadn't known until just when she told her mom that she was playing this role in this pro-life film, and it, changed her relationship with her mother, changed her relationship with her father. And that was something, again, that throughout the stories that of people involved in the film that abortion has affected all of us much more closely and much more intimately than most of us realize. And this is an issue that affects all of us personally. There's a third of our generation missing. And I think it was profound in that way. And then there's lots of just, you know, fun.
And I was thinking about this versus other roles that you've done, other acting jobs that you've had. I mean, I'm sure, like, were people preying on this? Was it different? Was the environment different?
It was an environment, you know, but there was a dedicated prayer team there every single day. And there was a really great camaraderie and Christian fellowship amongst also sort of to the point of the second question about, you know, what's it like being pro-life? And it was a completely different experience than I'd ever had before, to be surrounded by people who were, in everything that they were doing, supportive of life and supportive of a lot of the same values and ideals and hopes. Just this general sense of joy and mission and purpose amongst everybody there, and just that it was a real joy to come to work each day.
Yeah, so. In a mission-oriented film with great meaning. I love that. We're going to conclude. I just want to wrap up by asking a little bit about your book, published from Our Sunday Visitor, Grit and Glory, Cross-Training Your Body and Soul. And tell us about it. I love the title. You're there on the cover, and you're acting. You're not acting. You're actually doing this obstacle, because you were on TV. You were on the Spartan Challenge, right?
Yeah. So I was on the first season of NBC's Spartan Ultimate Team Challenge.
And I love this, because on the other side, I love the depth with which you write and talk about. You are also in charge of the Chesterton Society there. You run that in Hollywood. So I love the philosophy of, again, it's not just that this physical is a byproduct of me working out 10 hours a day, but it really is, like you said, the spiritual, the body, the physical, all integrated into one. So tell us a little bit about your book and your mission.
So that, I think, is sort of the central thesis of my book, is that we, you know, as you know, for myself as a Catholic and Christians in general, we've often fallen into this. We've fallen into all the same mistakes and heresies that our culture has fallen into, of going body and soul. Those are two separate things. It's almost wrong to talk of body and soul with the terms like body and soul, because it sets up this like a duality and a separation when they're not ever meant to be separated. That's why death is so wrong, because it separates body and soul, and that's not supposed to happen. The more that we can live as a union of body and soul, an integrated human person, the more that we are living out God's true purpose for our creation and for our lives. And so that everything we do, so that's sort of how I approach the whole topic of training in grit and glory. And I get a lot into, okay, what are these, you know, sort of direct cognates between physical training and the spiritual life? And then also get into, how can you grow and train endurance and your strength and your courage and the way that you approach all things?
I like you have the training trinity. That's exercise, rest, and nutrition.
Yeah. That's right. Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is there's so much of life. I mean, because God is truth, you know, the word of God creates all things. We see echoes of that throughout creation. And so there are things in our lives and in the world around us that they make sense to us in ways that we go, oh, that is just like the, okay, I don't understand the Trinity. Well, do you understand how you have to have all three, both, you know, proper rest, nutrition, and exercise, and none of them are in isolation, and yet they're all one thing. They all work together to create a healthy life. Oh, yeah, I guess I do understand that. Okay, well, that's kind of how the Trinity works. So it's an interesting thing to start to look and see how all these places that we've created artificial separations between our physical lives and our spiritual lives, if you just let them be what they are.
Well, I really think that you are filling a void and you're offering a service, because there's so many of us where you want to exercise on more of a cerebral level. It's not just me and vanity and I want to be a certain size. You understand there's a theology of the body, quite literally, but just that it all works together. One of the action steps that I like that you had in your book, which is the novena. Can you just give us a little sneak peek about how you would apply this novena?
Yeah. So in Grit and Glory, we have different exercise plans. We've got, you know, a nine day novena challenge to get you into the exercising both your body and soul throughout the week. And then, you know, then we do, you know, 21 days to build a habit and 40 days in the desert and that kind of thing. So different size workout plans to fit your needs. But that's the whole idea is that this is, you know, novenas are these in the tradition of the church have been these periods of, you know, 9 days. I mean, it starts in the Gospels and in the, you know, the Book of Acts of the apostles at the end of the 40 days after the resurrection. They do a novena to the Holy Spirit and, you know, are rewarded with coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And from the earliest days of the church, this period of 9 days of prayer and dedication is a tradition of the church. And so to take that sort of motif and go, okay, I really want to jump right into integrating my body and soul and becoming a more full human person. And so to train my body, train my soul every day and take part in the training trinity of training, eating and resting and taking all those things into account. Yeah, that's basically what we do is I've got it set up every single day for you. What are you doing these 9 days to really get started on that journey and enter into a spirit of prayer, a spirit of docility, and a spirit of learning and growth.
I love that. That's fantastic. So the book is out. We can get it. The movie is out. And what's next for you?
Let's see. I've got another book coming out. It's in the works at Our Sunday Visitor, and it's about nutrition and faith. And so that'll be coming out either end of this year or beginning of 2020. I've got a TV show coming out that's coming out on the 4th of July. I can't say what it is, but... It's a big premiere on the 4th of July. So,
well, we can find you on social media, though, right? Are you going to be dropping some hints?
Yeah, and that basically, if you want to keep up with what I'm doing, follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. That's where I'm most active, at Kaiser Johnson on both of those.
So. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your witness. And we will just be following the journey, supporting what you do. And I think I might do some push-ups now after this conversation. I will.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the area, Brooke would love to connect with you at one of her upcoming talks. On April 25th in Cleveland, Ohio, Courageous, a Woman's Night of Inspiration and Faith at the Breen Center of Performing Arts. On May 11th at St. John Vianney Parish in Mentor, Ohio. On May 31st, Magnify Women's Conference in Tracy, California. Or on June 28th at Immaculate Conception Church in Dublin, Georgia. For more information on these events, or to book Brooke for your church, retreat, or event, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Padre in your pocket.
On good things, great deal. Hey everybody, it's Father Nathan here with another Padre in Your Pocket for you. We are approaching Easter, and during this time, I'd like to speak to you about the power that we have as Christians to win a victory, not immediately, but over time. I ponder this a lot when I pray the rosary, and the fourth sorrowful mystery is the carrying of the cross. Before our Lord dies, he carries his cross, and oftentimes I'm asked to give meditations on the rosary. And sometimes it's hard to actually come up with what is unique about carrying the cross. That he died, you can speak about infinitely, but the carrying of the cross can sometimes elude us. And yet, he asks us to carry our crosses as well. It's not just that we have a glorious moment of death when we can bear witness to Jesus and say his name out loud and then die, but that often comes at the end of a long, laborious struggle called life. How is it that I win a victory if I don't feel like I've won it? And the answer is the virtue of endurance or patient suffering. Sometimes in the Bible it's called long suffering. And it's a property that St. Paul speaks about often in his writings. It's something like 27 times that it's found in the New Testament. This quality of charity that is sticking it out during difficulty, sticking it out during the times where we want to quit. Leadership goes all over this. When you speak about books and workshops, they'll talk about the quality of grittiness. They'll talk about how the mind can push ourselves so much further than we thought. You know, there's all kinds of things about that. But have you ever thought about the power that that means when you apply it to your real life and your life in your family? And you realize that your faith is not just about how wonderful things will be afterwards, but also the importance of us engaging in the long battle now as if we were going to win it in the end. In fact, this is what we do. Our Christian life is an invitation to victory in the suffering. And that victory in the suffering is the glint in the eye of a mother with a special needs child who, seeing the challenge ahead, knows that Jesus will never abandon her. It's the dedication of a husband to a family that's falling apart and will not walk away. It's in your heart as well. As you continue to pray, continue to beg God, even when it seems like he hasn't answered your prayers, I want to give you a word of encouragement. You are carrying the cross with Christ. And that day will come of your ultimate witness. But it's not there yet, because you're bearing witness now, not through a glorious victory, but through a long suffering endured in his name. And you guys can do it by the power of his grace. Without his grace, we can do nothing. But with his grace, we can do all things. And Christ is there. Lean on him this Holy Week. Lean on him in your long suffering. And don't quit, because he is bigger than your suffering, and he has overcome the world. God bless you.
Wow, lots to ponder on today's show. A big thank you to actor Kaiser Johnson for joining us in Hollywood. Thank you to Father Nathan for the Padre in Your Pocket. A big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. And so for any audio, video needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you this Holy Week and Easter. And as we read in 1 Peter 1:13, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. May God bless you this Easter and always. Peace and love.